It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Pittsburgh theater scene is incredibly rich, and local production companies are thriving, but they do so with the typical undercurrent of inspiration and excitement, but also politics, fear, loathing, and, well, some bad blood associated with just about any creative endeavor. How else to explain how two of the best stage producer-directors this or any city has produced suddenly found themselves out on the street at virtually the same time? Men without countries, if you will. Andrew Paul is the co-founder and longtime artistic director of the Pittsburgh Irish and Classical Theater, who was unceremoniously axed last spring, about the same time Mark Clayton Southers, founder of the 10-year-old Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater Company, was being laid off from his position at the August Wilson Center. But now the two have joined forces to fill what they see as a void in the Pittsburgh theater scene to create a new professional company, The Phoenix, which opens tonight with the first performance of a play called Blue Orange, which deals with issues related to the mental health care system. They are with me now in Studio A, Mark Clayton Southers. Welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you, Paul. I don't think I was in the street. I just went across the street back to my small theater.
Well
with
said.
A larger budget.
Well, yeah. Well, the larger budget helps, I'm sure. And Andrew Paul, good to have you with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What things would you like to see on stage in Pittsburgh? What is lacking, in your opinion, in the Pittsburgh theater scene? 412-246-2002, the number to call. So first off, gentlemen, how did you end up joining forces to create your new professional company, The Phoenix?
Well, actually, it's pretty interesting. Mark and I had been friends for quite a while because he invited me to direct a play he wrote called James McBride, which is part of his Culture Clash series. And this was about 6-7 years ago. And through that experience, we sort of realized we have a sort of shared idea of what we think theater is and what it should be and where theater's headed. Subsequently, we've done a lot of traveling together. We pitched a show at a European festival together, but we've never actually collaborated as producers. But of course, circumstances sort of just developed in a way that opened up an opportunity for us. You know, one door closing is another one opening up in life, and we talked about doing something together. And I think what's happening right now in American theater is there's a real push on. For theater to sort of catch up with what's going on in society, where theater should be reflecting the sort of changing face of America. And, you know, there's a big thing not only in terms of you know, the Latino population in this country, but also the black population and other diverse elements. And Mark and I have this idea of doing something that truly reflects Pittsburgh's community, which is about 30% black. And we'd love to see an audience that truly reflects Pittsburgh.
So, Mark Clayton Southers, how do you go about doing that? How do you go about creating something that truly reflects Pittsburgh?
Well, I think it's about being in a position to make things happen. African-American artists haven't really been in position to do that in Pittsburgh. You know, sitting in a room where people might say things that are offensive or whatever, and people are afraid to speak up because it might mean they might not work here or whatever.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is if someone, you know, makes a comment, you know, and generally an African-American actor might be in a situation where they're working on a production and, you know, something might be said or whatever, and because they don't have any power, they feel powerless to you know, say things because they want to work. They want to continue to work. And I want to create an environment where African-American actors feel like they're part of something from the door when they walk in there. And they don't feel like they shouldn't ever have to feel like I'm lucky to be here. They should feel like I deserve to be here. And we're doing work that represents me and my culture and the stories that I want to tell. And it's not a black company and it's not a white company. It's a theater company. You know, the Pittsburgh Playwrights, it's a theater company. It's not a black theater company. It's not a white theater. It's a theater company. We do the works of Pittsburgh Playwrights. The Phoenix, why I'm interested in what we're working on is because it's a theater company, and it represents diversity in the plays that we put on. A lot of people think that it's, you know, it's a racist culture, environment, whatever. But the reality is it's up to what plays you put on. That dictates who's going to be on stage for the majority of the time. And some theater companies have to, you know, mount a season that their patrons want to see, you know, that the ticket holders want to see, you know, that the board wants to see. We're going to mount.
Is there – excuse me for interrupting, mm-hmm. Yeah. But is there a disconnect between what people in Pittsburgh want to see and the artistic visions that people who are running theaters are imposing on the city?
I think in some sense, some instances it is like that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that there's a almost like a segregated theater society?
Of course, you know that. I mean, it's by choice. I mean, if you go downtown, or you know, to go to a theater event, and you know, you can look at the audience and see that. You know, it depends, but you know, it's about what you present. People go and see what they want to see. You know. And we want to set up an environment. We want to take the Pittsburgh Playwrights to the next level as far as the audience. You know, we're developing a diverse audience. And you do that by showing diversity on stage, mm-hmm. you know, because people relate to it. You know, so now you're telling stories that people can relate to. So the audience – and what's going to be great about this production is in the round. So you'll have audience members across from you and on the sides of you, and – Black people react one way to some things, and white people react differently, and it's going to be vice versa. And some people react the same. So now you're in this pit, and you're going to the senses. Everything's going to be turned up. It's going to be madness.
Andrew, and what are the works that are out there that can reflect this kind of artistic vision that can bring about inclusion and encourage people from diverse walks of life to meet at this one place?
Right. Well, I think that I think Blue Orange, which is the play we're doing right now, is a perfect play to really make a statement about the type of work Mark and I really want to do.
What is Blue Orange? It's about the mental health care system, but explain what this play is telling
right.
the story of.
Basically, it's a caustically funny play. It is about race and mental health, and the plot is fairly simple. You have a young black man who is
Afro-Caribbean.
Yeah, he's black. There's a young black guy, and he's in this mental health system because he's been caught doing something strange in a public place, and which is unclear. The play is purposefully vague, and he's being treated by two physicians. One's a younger physician who sort of wants to save him. And the other is sort of a jaded bureaucrat who just wants to get him back out on the street. And what starts as sort of a conflict between the two physicians over a course of treatment for the patient eventually turns into something altogether different. It turns into a dialogue about how about power. It's about how the physicians manipulate him and each other, and how he then in turn manipulates them in reverse. So it's pretty complex, but it's amazingly fun journey though, because the play. What I love about the play is the play is incredibly funny throughout.
And it's a British play.
It's an award-winning British play. I don't know why it hasn't had a lot of airings over here in the States, but the play is very popular in the UK. It won the Olivier Award as Best Play about 10 years ago. And it was sort of the launching pad for Chiwetel Ejiofor, who's a wonderful actor who's now starring in this film, 12 Years a Slave, and sort of launched his whole career. And it's quite a fascinating piece. But I think the play, what's really great about the play, getting back to what Mark was talking about, race and the community, is that the play in a lot of ways and the process has been a microcosm of this whole problem, because the experience of this play, I think, for a black audience member is very different than the experience of the play for a white audience member. And this is what I think really fascinates us, and which is why we want to do something provocative that throws both white and black actors and audience members in a room and lets them chew on a very important issue, is because I think that it is potentially explosive because we think in different ways. But I think that's good. And I think it opens up a whole dialogue. And that's the type of work we really want to be doing.
The provocative work opens up a jumping-off point for conversations about some of these sensitive issues that maybe people wouldn't talk about otherwise.
Exactly. For instance, I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about race in the mental health system, but as it turns out, in the research we did, you know, black men, young black men, are 5 times more likely to be diagnosed with schizophrenia than any other race. Now, why would that be? I mean, it's just an interesting thing that you know, is at play during this play.
It's cause of slavery. Hello.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things that Andrew didn't mention, which happens a lot in conversations when, you know, a black person's present, and I'm going to speak up, is that he didn't mention what race the doctors were. So when we have conversations about race and things, and we take it for granted that we don't have to say – the white people take it for granted. They don't have to identify white people as white people, but they have to identify the black person as a black person. He didn't say these doctors were white at all. You know, I'm just saying, this is what happens. This is something that happens over and over on a daily walk with everybody at their job and everything like that. Oh, you know, I saw this black guy walking down the street. You know, but so I make a conscious effort to say white people. If I'm going to say somebody's black, I'm going to say somebody's white. So we're all on the same page. And if I'm being sensitive about it, that's all part of this whole dialogue that we need to have about race.
Right. I guess unless you're talking about the NBA and you're talking about that white guy on the Knicks. Other than that, talking with Mark Clayton Southers, founder of the Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater, and also Andrew Paul. They have joined together to form a new professional theater company in Pittsburgh called The Phoenix, and they are opening the theater tonight with the first performance of the play Blue Orange, which you've heard them describing. This is certainly cutting-edge work. A lot of the topics that you're going to be dealing with are going to be controversial. And at the end of the day, there's always that bottom line you have to meet. You have to, in order to make something that is successful, it has to not only be artistically successful, but it also has to fit in with whatever kind of business model that you are going to create. So how will you compete with this type of work against all of the other theater entities in this very competitive Pittsburgh theater scene?
Well, I think one of the smart things that we did is we started out in a smaller venue like the Pittsburgh Playwrights. And, you know, Andrew's used to working in larger venues and working with larger budgets and things like that. So we're still ironing out and getting to find a common ground with things. But I will tell you this. This cast is an amazing cast. And I think the word of mouth is going to usher people into the place to see the show. So, I mean, I know that's going to happen. So there's no doubt in my mind. It's a wonderful cast. It's a knockout cast. It's a great player, great director, and the designers are top-notch. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun thing. People are going to come back and see again. And because it's in a round, maybe sit in another seat, you know what I mean? You know, because the ticket prices are much different than what, you know, my audiences are used to.
How different are they?
Well, there's actually – the normal ticket price is $38, which is – you know, when we do August Wilson, we might charge $30 or so, but generally about $25. But we have special codes where you can get tickets for $25. But one unique thing that Andrew did, which I thought was kind of out there, which because I never done it before, is that because we're trying to get new audiences, anyone under 30, tickets for $15, which is great, you know, if you're under 30, you know. And there's a big downtown population, but I don't think they're under 30. So,
well, you know, you touched on a very interesting point there, because how important is it to grow the audience, because people who are under 30 a lot of times are just very satisfied with sitting at home and surfing the internet or tweeting or
– I think it's very important because the baby boomers are moving into a different realm, and we need to generate a new audience. And I think that one thing for me, which I've been learning through the younger folks that I see, you know, with these different little theater programs, is that they're excited about Pittsburgh. You know, folks my age aren't really excited about Pittsburgh. We're like, it's the same old stuff. You know, Johnny Gammage, you know, all the different – I mean, we've been through a lot of crap in Pittsburgh as African-Americans. We don't have the African-American businesses downtown. The August Wilson Center, you know, is failing because of the lack of financial support, you know. It's not so much about management. It's all about money. And the thing is that I don't – like I was alluding before when we talked, that I don't think that African-Americans feel welcome downtown. So we're doing our best at the Pittsburgh Playwrights to provide the opportunity for folks to see good theater, you know, whether it's the Pittsburgh Playwrights or now the Phoenix, you know, or other companies. Bricolage has been doing some really great work in the same building with, you know, doing some diverse things as well. But, we, you know, we want to be very impactful about making sure that everything we do is diverse. Every single show has some level of diversity in it. So that's what we're trying to do. We want the African-American theater goer crowd that we're trying to help assist to grow. We want them to be able to come downtown and see things and see other things. You know, the Pittsburgh Playwrights is going to do our theater festival in black and white, which is going to be something for folks to see downtown, African-Americans especially, see folks on stage telling their stories, you know, which starts in December. And we're trying to get those type of things as something that's going to happen all the time downtown. So it's just not like a once in a while thing, you know. But the Phoenix, we're going to attack diversity. Right now we're going to deal with the black and white diversity. And then in the spring we're going to deal with other types of diversity as well. So we got a lot of stuff up our sleeves. And we've been had some really great support with some wonderful folks like our board members, you know, Richard Rao, you know, and Dr. Michael Ramsey. And we're just looking for folks to get on board with us so we can keep it moving.
There seems to be an interesting chemistry between you two fellows, Andrew and Mark. What about working together, you know, the two of you? And, you know, I'll take the opportunity to identify you as, you know, a white and an African-American man. Right.
Andrew's really white.
I really am white.
And
in every way,
you will be working together. You know, you've maybe, you know, crossed paths in the past, but you're really going to be working together a great deal now. So talk about how that relationship's going to work out and evolve.
Yeah, well, I think it's you know, it has its challenges. There's no question, because I think that you know, Mark has been producing it in a very different way than the way I produced with Pittsburgh Irish and Classical Theater. Now, the you know, PICT wasn't there was an evolution of that company. That was a startup, you know, 17 years ago. So, I mean, that thing was built from the ground up, you know, one audience member at a time. And I think that's how all theaters, you know, build a following and build an audience and build up a funding base. And obviously we're starting over here with the Phoenix. I mean, we're building it one person at a time, just like he built Playwrights and like I built PICT. But there's a lot of things with Mark and I that I think that Mark and I share an inherent curiosity about the world and life, and we both love this idea of the clash of cultures, and that we love immersing ourselves in it, because one of the things I love about theater is that I learn something every single day. Every play I do, I learn something, and I learn a lot of things that I never knew. And the experience of collaborating with people in a room and solving issues and figuring out how a play works and the dynamics and how it plays with an audience and how it elicits a response from them is just an incredibly exciting thing. And Mark and I have this shared passion for live theater, as we've learned by going to a lot of festivals, seeing a lot of stuff together. And I think that ultimately that passion is gonna lead us down a path where we can find a way really to use that shared love of theater and its experience to build something beautiful.
Andrew Paul and Mark Clayton Southers, co-founders of the new Downtown Professional Theater, The Phoenix, and it opens its doors tonight with the first performance of the first play there, Blue Orange. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Break. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everybody.